slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, would you please stay with me? It simply will be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and absolutely no solicitation. That's right, no requesting money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not after anything. We're just simply trying to give you accurate information. The information that I pray will help you orient and adjust to the plan of God. Because if you can, you know, if I do my job, if I can give you the truth and give it in a way that you can understand it, if I can verify it and identify it, then you can orient and adjust if you want to. Your life is about making decisions. You have a volition. God gave you a chooser, a decider called your volition. And as you think, so you are. The Bible says that in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the real you is what you think, and what you think are the decisions that you make every day. And having a flot line, F-L-O-T, a forward line of troops inside your soul, is the same thing as having an invisible army protect your mind, protect your thoughts, so that the outside sources of adversity don't overrun the command post of your soul and create stress. It is possible that by using God's problem-solving devices, you can keep the outside sources of adversity at bay. You don't have to live in worry. You don't have to live in fear. That's not the way the Christian has to live. He can live a different lifestyle. He can have the mind of Christ, as Philippians 2:5 says. And what a wonderful way to live. Thinking divine viewpoint, not relating to human viewpoint. But it all starts with the good news about Jesus Christ, God's anointed Son, and how He's redeemed us out of the slave market of sin. Our debt to God has been paid, and we are now free from the penalty of death and the power of sin, and we have the privilege to live this wonderful life called the Christian life, a supernatural life. A life that has supernatural assets, like God the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and like the living Word of God, your Bible, where it says it's alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword. maybe the asset of a well-qualified pastor to teach you the Bible, your own spiritual gift to how God uses you, not a talent, but a gift, how God uses you in His service to glorify Him. So there's so many assets that you have. You have the assets of grace and all the grace provisions that go with it. And what a wonderful way to live the Christian life. We started a series last Sunday, if you were listening, and that series was talking about some of the toughest years in life. And those are the teenage years, the younger years, the years between, I guess, maybe 12 to 18, 12 to 17, I don't know. And we started looking at a verse that said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first mandate with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live a long time on the earth." That's Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. We looked into the original languages of the New Testament here, and we saw that verb, obey, is an imperative mood command in the Greek New Testament. And we talked about how you must obey, even sometimes if the authority is not fair. We went on to explain how parents represent authority, how we learn to orient to authority throughout life, whether it's fair or unfair. And we saw that we can do that in the Lord. We also saw that you don't have to obey parents that want you to break the law and ask you to do something illegal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in a normal home, in a normal situation, when parents, for example, say, "You can't go out this weekend, you disobeyed me." And instead of throwing a fit and jumping up and down and hollering and screaming and slamming the doors, you obey. And because this is how you learn authority orientation. And there's a lot that goes with that. I don't want to get too far in discussing that. But the next word is to honor your parents. Obey them and honor them. And here I showed you where it split them up. It said father and mother. The first one said, obey your parents. They're together. The next one, honor your father and your mother. We split them up. And I told you that sometimes parents get divorced. And no one is allowed to hate one or the other. And consequently, no parent, and this is terrible when they do this, no parent is ever, ever, ever allowed to manipulate a child to get them to hate the spouse they left. That's nothing short of child abuse, to try to manipulate your child to hate your spouse that you left, man or woman, because you're bitter and you want your children to be bitter. And that's terrible. And so the promise that part of this is Deuteronomy 5:16. If you honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded, your days may be prolonged. And so the secret to a full and a meaningful life starts when we learn authority orientation at home. That's how we overcome our arrogant tendencies that lead to self-destruction. Do you remember the tendencies of arrogance? There are simply three. It's self-justification, when you justify why you're right and your parents are wrong. And self-deception, when you lie enough, you actually believe it yourself. And then there's self-absorption, where you're totally absorbed with what you want to do. So when you go through those three stages, self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption, they always lead eventually to self-destruction. Most people don't understand. They just can't seem to realize God designed a marvelous, wonderful life for them. But they think that they don't need the Bible, they don't need what's in the Bible, and they wind up condemning themselves because of their own arrogance. God has nothing but the best for you. If you learn His plan and use it, if you follow the protocol plan of God, you can have a wonderful, long, full, meaningful life, and even better yet, a wonderful death. To be face to face with the Lord and not come to your grave full of bitterness and regret and all sorts of guilt. What a terrible way to go. So, this verse is a wonderful verse to teach us authority orientation. But then it winds up with in verse 4, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Provoking your child to wrath or orge or anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There's two different words there, nurture and admonition. One means to put something on their behind, and one means to put something in their mind. To nurture them means to teach them something, and to admonition means to, well, apply the board of education. So does the Bible endorse discipline? Yes. Does the Bible endorse a little whip every now and then for a parent to straighten a child out? Yes, it does. It even says if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. So the Bible never endorses beating a child. The Bible never endorses anything like that at all. That's child abuse. But the Bible does allow us to discipline our children in a manner that's fit. And the Bible says here, do not provoke your child to wrath. You know what that means? It means that when a father who is an authority figure in the home makes a decision that's unfair and not correct, that he can cause that child to stumble by placing a burden on them they're not capable of handling. And so it's a warning or an admonition to the fathers. And this is nothing more than child abuse. Mark 9:42 says, it would be better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and throw you in the deepest part of the ocean than to harm one of these children. So here's some thoughts to be considered in regards to life's toughest years being a teenager. Authority orientation is critical in life. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, here's an interesting thought. We have a president in our country today that a lot of people hate, a lot of people would like to get rid of. 24/7, he's under attack. There is no power but of God. And you've got to understand, whoever is in that office, whether you like him or not, God allowed it to happen. And so God had a reason. And so authority orientation is to orient to the authority of the parents, to orient to the authority of the police officer, even to orient to the authority of the president. As long as he doesn't tell you, you can't worship God. Anyone that tells you, you can't worship God, or you can't study your Bible, or you can't meet in fellowship together, you don't orient to that authority. You orient to the higher authority of God himself. But when it comes to authority, you can either respond and obey it, or you can react. So appreciation for the sacrifice of your parents is in order. Always is in order. And finding God's will for a full and a meaningful life is great. That you have to avoid that my way highway. You have to stay off the my way highway. The cosmic system is always luring you. It's always out there. It's always telling you life is better over here. Come over here and do this. Come over here and try this. And even though your parents may have told you it's wrong, don't do that. You'll destroy yourself if you get into that. Don't be involved in drugs. Don't be involved in alcohol. Don't be involved in premarital sex. And yet you decide that you want to do it anyhow. Well, without the appreciation and respect of your parents, you're going to have an abnormal and a flawed life. There may be a few exceptions, but not very many. Your volitional decisions start early, and the job of your parent is to place into your conscience divine norms and standards. Those divine norms and standards are there as a mutual alert system to guide you and warn you and keep you safe. And a soul that is listening won't override the alarms when the alarms go off. When one of your friends say, come on, let's go, we'll have a good time. And you say, no, I don't think my parents want me to do that. And your conscience is screaming at you, don't. You know better. And yet when you override that with your volition and you arrogantly justify why it's okay to do it because all my friends are doing it and my parents don't understand, well, you are just have taken the first step into really messing up your life. So, volitional choices start early. The choice to accept Christ as your Savior starts very early. Most people come to understand this even before their teenage years. The choice to learn God's Word and apply it into your life is critical, and that sometimes that comes later. But these are decisions that you have to make. When the Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a decision you have to make. Will you do as the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So learning God's word and applying it into your life is a choice. It's a decision that you make. It's not going to happen just by osmosis. You're going to have a Bible and a notebook and a well-qualified pastor, and you're going to have to sit down, shut up, listen, learn, and apply into your life. Most people can't do that. They can't do that. They can't take the time. They're so distracted, and Satan uses the social media to do that. They get so distracted that if they sat there and they tried to listen to a Bible study tape, a DVD, an MP3, their mind would wander and they'd want to go look at Facebook. They'd want to go see if they got some email. They'd want to go look at something on the news. They can't concentrate for extended periods of time. This is how Satan steals your thoughts, the inability to concentrate. If you can't concentrate for more than 30 minutes at a time, something's wrong. And you have to train yourself to do that. So you have to make a choice to learn God's Word, apply God's Word. Then you have to make a choice to share the Word of God with other people, the Word you've learned. I mean, you have the most powerful tool in the world at your hand. Paul said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You know, a person could blow up one of those nuclear bombs and kill millions of people, but the spoken gospel, the word of God spoken, could save millions of people in one instant when they believe it. The gospel is the most powerful thing in the world because it can totally change a person's life overnight when they believe it. When a person comes to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says he's a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. Boom, totally, brand new in one instant. So, what a wonderful thing it is. The choice to share that plan with other people, to give other people the wealth of knowledge that you've learned from your pastor, and the choice that you have to reject what the world offers as happiness, you know, people and circumstances. If you know the right people, you'll be happy. If you have the right circumstances, you'll be happy. But that's not true, because unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. So, the first part of this study is called what? It's called pushing the boundaries, testing your boundaries. And that's where this verse is so critical. Now we want to move into the second part in someone's life. As a young person grows and continues to grow, they want to sow a few wild oats. You know, sowing your wild oats. I remember when I was a kid and some of the upperclassmen in my school wanted me to ride around with them one night and they pulled out some beer. And they said, you want a beer? And, of course, I didn't want to be embarrassed. I'd never drank beer in my life, but I wanted these guys to like me. So I said, sure, yeah. And they popped the top on a beer and gave me one. It was the worst tasting stuff I'd ever tasted in my life. You got to acquire a taste for that junk. And I acted like I drank it. I went around the curve and I threw the bottle out. And the guy said, you finished that already? I said, oh, yeah, give me another one. No. You know, I wanted to impress them. I wanted to sow a few wild oats. You want to get away from your parents' authority. You want to get away from someone watching over you. You don't want your coach looking over your shoulder or your teacher telling you what to do. You want to sow some wild oats. Well, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18 talks about this. It says, be careful how you walk. Actually, I think it's Ephesians 4. But we'll read this one to start with, then we'll come back and read Ephesians 4. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So here's the first admonition. God wants you to have some wisdom. Now, there's two ways of getting wisdom. There's human wisdom, and there's divine wisdom. Human wisdom is what does the world tell you, and divine wisdom is what does the Bible tell you. Well, the world will tell you that the Bible is archaic. The Bible is not true. The Bible is just a religious, you know, icon. But I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I believe the Bible is the real deal, the literal Bible, the Word of God. And when you live by it and learn it, you're very wise. Proverbs talks about this. So don't live your life as an unwise person. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the Word of God. And who rejects it? Well, Proverbs says the fool rejects it. Making the most of your time, Ephesians 5:15-18, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men walk, but as wise men, making the most of your time. Again, talking about sowing your wild oats. You only have so many days. You only have so much time. I don't know how long you're going to be here. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. But I know this. God gives us some time. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for this and a time for that, time to live, time to die, time to love. Well, you are in your time. And you can waste time by chasing the cosmic system. Making the most of your time, the Bible uses another word called redeem the time. And redeeming the time means that you can actually add days to your life by learning God's Word, using God's Word. When you ignore it, you can actually shorten your life. Make the most of your time. How much time have you wasted not paying attention to God, not paying attention to His Word? I'm not talking about going into a cloister somewhere and closing the door, turning on a candle and reading the Bible 24/7. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's 24 hours in a day, okay? What if you could spend 30 minutes a day learning God's Word, like listening to this radio show or listening to a pastor teach you the Bible? Would that be making wise use of your time? Yes, but you say, I don't have time. I'm so busy. I'm a wife, and I've got 3 kids, and I've got to get them up and get them off to school, and I got to prepare a husband's meal tonight, and I just don't have any time. I'm just exhausted. Well, certainly you are. This is what the devil's very good at. He's very good at getting you so busy, so involved, that you don't have any time to study God's Word. Making the most of your time, Ephesians 5:16. Why? Because the days are evil. Evil is the genius of Satan. The lure of evil is the lure of the cosmic system. It's always out there. It's always calling you. It's like a mirage in the desert. It's saying, why don't you buy one more lottery ticket? If you could just win the lottery, you'd be happy. Well, look at that TV show where people buy new homes when they win the lottery. Boy, wouldn't that be great if you could win the lottery? And on and on and on it goes. Satan will perpetuate the lie to you that happiness is based on you winning some money, that happiness is based on you finding the right person, that happiness is based on you living in the right place, that happiness is based on you driving the right car. And that's not where happiness comes from. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, happiness comes from those who hear my Father's word and keep it. Luke 11:27-28. So the days are evil. Evil is the genius of Satan. He's the god of this world. And he's constantly throwing out false promises. He's constantly throwing out stuff that he cannot fulfill, and you can't live it either. And then verse 17 says, do not be foolish. In other words, don't act like an idiot. But, conjunction of contrast, understand what is the will of the Lord. God has a will for your life. He has a perfect plan for your life. That will is, first of all, his geographical will. Where does he want you to live? What does he want you to think? What does he want you to do? God has a plan for your life. And one of the most amazing, wonderful, fulfilling things in your life is to realize what the plan is and live it to the fullest. There's no greater joy that you could ever experience than being in the center of the plan of God for you. And so, understand the will of God. Understand. Look at that word, understand. It doesn't come automatically. You've got to learn it, to understand it. Understanding, wisdom comes from understanding. Understanding comes from perception. Perception comes from listening. Listening. And so, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you grow? You listen. You listen to a pastor teach God's Word, and you perceive the information. And it becomes wisdom when you apply it into your soul. Wisdom, understanding, discernment. These are wonderful things that God has for you. Because Satan would like nothing more than to destroy your life or the life of some child or some teenager. And I've seen it happen many times because they had no wisdom. They had no understanding. They had no discernment. And they bought into a lie. And that lie cost them their lives. I've seen people die from overdoses. I've seen people die from car wrecks, chasing something that wasn't there. The happiness that Satan offers you is like a mirage in the desert. It's not a happiness. It's a chain. It's a slavery. It's a lifestyle. And if you've allowed yourself to get caught in it, I pity you. There's only one way out, and that's to go to your Father and admit your sin, turn your life back over to Him, recover, and advance in your spiritual life. The next verse goes on to say in verse 18, Ephesians 5, and do not get drunk with wine. There it is. Drunkenness is a sin. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want something to control your life, if you want something to guide your life, it's the Holy Spirit. It's that person that Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, when I go away, I'll send Him. And He will tutor you. He will be your private mentor. He will guide you and lead you into truth. And being drunk with wine, the Holy Spirit's not doing anything for you. You're letting the wine do the talking. But when you are in fellowship with God by use of rebound or confessing your sin, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, which is problem-solving device number 3, then you can redeem the time and God can lead you and guide you into His will for your life, which is where the happiness you're searching for really is. So the real danger of experimenting with the things the world offers, we're going to have to talk about that in our next show, because it's called building up scar tissue, scarring up your soul, putting holes in your mind that cannot be filled in. Scar tissue can destroy you. It can harden your heart. It can put you to a place where you don't feel guilt or shame or remorse any longer. Because when you get into sin and stay into sin long enough, the scars begin to harden your heart. And even the Holy Spirit cannot convince you that you're wrong, cannot convict you. You don't even feel guilt. And Satan has won you over in that case. Won you over, I mean, he's on his way to destroying you, because the Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And he may have already devoured you, because you did exactly what the Bible said don't do. You got drunk with wine and you followed the lust of the flesh. There's so much to teach about this, so much to say about this, how scar tissue will shut down all of your senses. And we're going to have to take a look at that in our next study. Are you listening and are you learning? That's my question. I put these radio shows out here for you. I pay for them every week for you. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. And I hope if you have a question, you will contact me anytime, any place. I'll be glad to respond. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, and this is The Flatline, heard every Sunday on this radio station. Please come back and please join me next Sunday, same time, same place.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It's going to be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and we do it without any types of manipulation. No games, no gimmicks, no solicitation, no asking you for money. We're just here trying to give you some information. 30 minutes of accurate information that'll help you hopefully verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to that plan. It's always up to you. But the Flatline is about giving you some information designed to remind you of biblical truths and introduce you to an in-depth way of studying and learning God's Word, establishing in your soul a main line of resistance or a flat line, forward line of troops, F-L-O-T, flat line. The flat line or the main line of resistance is made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices. When you learn them, when you use them, you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why you'll hear me say adversity is inevitable, but stress is always optional. So it's up to you. It's your life. You got one shot at it. Every decision that you make is critical because you're held accountable for those decisions in your life. We make bad decisions. It limits our future options. But the best decision, the number one decision, the greatest decision you could ever make is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The free gift is yours to take, mine to take. I took that gift when I was 22 years old. I believed in Jesus Christ, received him as my Savior. Nothing weird happened. I didn't see angels. I didn't hear any harps, but I prayed to God, and I told him I wanted to be saved. And it indeed happened. It took me a few weeks to realize what had happened, and I had to learn a few things about what had happened in my life, but that was a while ago. And as I grew in grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I found a great pastor who taught me God's Word. As I sat under his ministry and learned from him, I took good notes and applied those notes into my life and sought to live the Christian life to the best of my ability. God brought a wonderful lady into my life, and we met and married and had 4 children. Raising children is one of the toughest things any person could ever do. It's funny, you have 4 different children, and you have 4 different personalities. They grew up in the same house, and they all are under the same rules, but they turn out totally different. You would think they'd all be alike since they were all in the same house, under the same roofs, with the same parents. But they're not. And so I want to talk to you about some of life's toughest years. I see it happen now with my grandchildren. Toughest years. Growing up and being what folks used to call a teenager. That's kind of an archaic term today, but being a young person in your teens, 12, 13, 14, 15, on up, I guess, till about 18, you go through a lot of changes. And so I want to talk to you about that. I want to go through some of these things with you. And hopefully, this radio show will not be an indictment on your life, but it will be an encouragement to you. And perhaps you would even, if you may wind up wanting to get some of these messages for your kids to hear. If so, let us know. We'll get them for you. But we want you and them to adjust to God's plan. So I have a pretty simple job. It's just to simply educate you. And your job is to evaluate the things that I teach. I don't use emotions to try to manipulate you. Never do that. I just want to give you accurate information. So I'm going to start today with a poem. I don't particularly like poems. I'm not a poetry reader. But anyhow, I'm going to give you this poem because I think it's great. It says, God gave you 2 ends, one to sit with and one to think with. Success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. So you have a brain. And inside that brain is where you make decisions. It's the same thing for your children. All kids have a brain. And they have to make decisions based on what they think, not based on what they feel. You can make a series of bad decisions if you make decisions based on the other end. And so learning what you should and shouldn't do is critical. The first thing that kids go through as they grow up is testing their boundaries. So we're going to call this message testing your boundaries. You know, getting to the place where you don't like the authority, you don't like people telling you what you can and cannot do, and you want to test your boundaries a little bit. I didn't particularly have all of that in my life. I grew up in a single-parent home without a father. I never really knew my father. My mother was a working woman, and she sent me out to live with guardians, people that she paid to watch me during the week. I would go home on Friday night and then go back to the guardian's house on Sunday night. So basically, two nights a week, Friday night and Saturday night, I was with her, and the rest of the time with people that I just absolutely hated. And until I did that, I guess until I was 13 or 12, and then I ran home. You know, some kids say, I ran away from home. No, I ran home. And I confronted my mom, and I told her I wasn't going to live with any other guardians. And so I was able to convince her to let me stay at our home with her. As I got into high school and into the 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, and sports became the father figure to me in my life. I had a great coach, and that coach took an interest in me and loved me, I guess, like a father would love a son. He encouraged me, but he did that for a lot of players. But anyhow, you find yourself testing your boundaries. You're getting a little mature. You're getting to make some decisions, and you want to make your own decisions. You don't want to be told what to do. Well, the Bible talks about this. It's just critical that young people understand this. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live a long time on the earth. Fathers, and here's an admonition to dads, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And so we start off with that first passage, children, obey your parents. You know, I like to go to the Greek language, and I like to look at these words as they were written originally. And the word obey is a word we want to pay close attention to. And we want to notice that they're children and their parents. And then there's fathers and mothers. The Bible splits them up a little later. Listen, let me read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. So we have children, parents, and father and mother. The word obey is a verb. Verbs show action. I flunked English in high school. Obviously, I didn't study, didn't pay attention. I was studying football and girls. That was about it. But I've learned since then, so I'm doing a lot better, so bear with me. A verb shows action. And in the Greek New Testament, we call this particular verb a word pronounced hupakuo. Hupakuo. And it's a present active imperative in the morphology of the verb. Now, what does that mean? Well, the present tense verb means that this is something that as long as you're under their roof, under their authority, under their provisions, you must obey the verb. The active voice says the subject produces the action of the verb. And the subject, obviously, is children. And the imperative mood is the mood of command. Now, buckle your chin straps. You're not going to like this, but this is the way it goes. Children, obey your parents. When you disobey your parents, you disobey the command, and that's called sin. It's sin when you disobey your parents. I know, I can hear it already, but you don't know my parents. You don't know what my parents are like. You don't know things about my parents. Okay, sure. Sometimes you get some lousy parents, I'll agree. I mean, if your mom or your dad said, look, kid, we need you to go down to the liquor store and get some booze, don't do it. You're not supposed to obey that commandment. I mean, if they tell you to break the law, you're under a higher law. Parents are not allowed to coerce children to break the law. They can't tell you to go hold up the grocery store and bring them some groceries. That's wrong. That's wrong. So we're not talking about extreme, weird, crazy cases. We're talking about normal stuff in life. This Greek word, hupakuo, it's a word used by the Apostle Paul. And it means that we, as young people, are to conform to a system of authority or a system of command. Authority is a word we don't like when we're pushing the boundaries. That's what we want to get away from. We're tired of people always telling us what to do. Get up, go to bed, brush your teeth, make up your room, clean your bed, you know, that sort of stuff. Come on. We just want to be bums and do it when we can do it. But this word means we are to conform to the authority. And this is the very first test in life for any teenager. It's conforming to authority, facing authority. And sometimes authority may be fair, and that's wonderful, but it's possible that authority could be unfair, and that's not good. You know, if you have a brother or a sister, have you ever been disciplined for something they did, and you got the blame for it? Your parents made a decision, and it was unfair, and consequently you suffered because they made an unfair decision. And the end result is you got mad and angry and bitter, slammed the door, said some words when nobody could hear you, lay on the bed, maybe even shed a tear and thought nobody loved you because of this goofy decision that they made. This is the first test in life. How do you handle unfair authority? Well, let me tell you what's going on. The reason God puts us through this is to prepare us for life. Let me be the last one to tell you this, not the first one, but life is not fair. You're going to get a job someday, and you're going to get let go and fired for no good reason. There's going to be a downsizing. There's going to be some kind of change, and boom, you're going to be gone. I have a friend of mine who worked for many years to establish and open a business, and he even moved from another state to this state so he could do this job and open this business and build the store. And after the store was built and after the public started coming and the money was rolling in, they walked in and fired him one day and said, "You're gone." But it wasn't just him. They fired 52 store managers across America in one sweep. All of them in one sweep. Walked in with police officers and said, "Give us your telephone, give us your keys, you'll be escorted out of the building. Have a nice life. Goodbye." That was unfair. That's the way life is. If you don't learn how to handle it as a child, you'll never be able to handle it when it happens to you later in life. There are going to be things, and I can give you illustration after illustration, but there are going to be things that are not fair. And you can react to things that are not fair. You can get mad. You can get angry. You can get an emotional overload. Or you can respond to things that are not fair. Respond. What does that mean? Well, it means you can maintain a relaxed mental attitude, which is a wonderful problem-solving device. You can use a faith rest drill, which knows God's in charge. He didn't make a mistake. And you can forgive the person who makes the mistake, especially if it's a parent. So if your parents make a mistake in regards to you and ground you or discipline you for something that one of your brothers or your sister did, has it ever entered into your mind that you might could forgive them for making a mistake? Because it's pretty hard to be a parent and figure out the who did it thing, you know, because the parent says, "Who did this?" And, you know, your sister says, "Not me," and your brother says, "Not me," and it's always the "not me" that did it. So this command, obey your parents, is designed to break the self-centered arrogance that does not want to be told what to do. This is the way God knocks the arrogance out of you. I mean, it starts as a kid, a little child. And you tell the child, do not touch that. And he's going to touch it. He wants to touch it. And you say, no, don't touch that. And he's going to go for it every time. And it's just inherent in the sin nature to buck authority. We don't like authority. We don't like to be under authority. And you must learn to handle authority or you will be disoriented to life. You won't be able to handle life. And it starts with the parents. All authority starts with the parents. And then it goes from the parents to the police officer. And it may go to the principal of your school. It may go to the pastor of your church. There's always authority. Your boss on your job. Authority. And if you harbor mental attitude sins and you get angry and you hold a grudge and you're bitter and unforgiving towards this person, you're going to have a pretty rotten life. And that's not the Christian life. So the Christian life starts here as a young Christian, a young teenager. You must learn to handle authority, whether it's fair or unfair. Independence is knocking. Your hormones are flowing, and you could violate the trust your parents put in you. You want to. You want to sneak out. You want to act like you're in bed and not really be in bed. I mean, parents want to trust their children. They want to know that they can trust their children. Can your parents trust you? This command cannot be followed without some divine help. I know it takes God to give you the courage to do when it says obey your parents. And so the divine help comes in the prepositional phrase, in the Lord. This is where the power comes from. Obey your parents in the Lord. There's the power. What does that mean? Well, this is the problem-solving device called the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's problem-solving device number 3 on the flat line of your soul. How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I use problem-solving device number 1. Problem-solving device number 1 is the rebound technique. And so when I sin, I go to God and confess my sin. So if you're a teenager and a young person, and your parents make a decision that's not fair, and you react and get mad and get bitter and get full of petty, vindictive hatred, you are sinning. And if you sneak around behind their back and go against their authority, you're sinning. And I know, I've been there. You think that this is the worst decision that could ever be made, and surely they don't love me or they wouldn't have made that decision. So you react and you sin. That quenches the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is quenched. And the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit and do not the Spirit. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And so if you want the Holy Spirit to be put back in control in your life, you have to go confess your sin to God. Not to me, not to anyone else. You go to God and you say, Father, I just blew it. I just lost my temper. I got so angry with my parents. Please cleanse me. Boom! He does it. And you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The only way you can fulfill the mandate of these verses I'm talking to you is in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who sustains you, empowers you. And if you take God's word and learn it and use it and put it together, then you have the double-barrel effect of the Christian life, God the Holy Spirit and the Bible, the Word. This mandate you must understand. What does that mean? In the Lord. It means you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. You take your lead from the Word of God, not to be arrogant, not to be bitter, not to react, but to respond and maybe forgive them if it was a bad decision. If it was a good decision, then you must confess your desire to override the authority of your parents. I mean, I cannot tell you so many illustrations I've learned over the years of traveling and speaking in schools of kids that wound up dead in a ditch, in a wreck, because they lied to their parents and said one thing and did something else. It's horrible. It's horrible because you don't just take your own self out. You take out one of your friends, too, because you're always trying to coerce somebody into going along with you. And so this is what it's all about. It will save your life. Remember the verse says, obey your parents and the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long time on this earth. Authority orientation means you can live a long time. You can have a great life. But if you don't orient to authority, you're not going to be able to have a great life, because you're going to be an arrogant person full of self-pity. You're always going to be resenting anyone that has any authority over you, from the police officer to whatever, to the principal. You're just not going to be able to handle it. You won't like it because you're so hard-headed and stubborn and arrogant that you want your way, and you cannot even possibly believe that somebody actually may be smarter than you, and that somebody who's making this decision may be making this decision, and it would actually save your life if you just shut up and listen and do what you're told. But you can't, because you're so arrogant, you can't handle that sometimes. So the next word says, honor your father and your mother. This is not the word obey. This is a different word, honor. And notice it split them up, father, mother. The first time they had them together, parents. Here's a big, big revelation for you. Parents get divorced. If you come from a divorced home like I do, maybe you do know your father and you do know your mother, and I don't know which one you live with. But honor is the Greek word tamao, tamao. And tamao means you are to revere them or venerate them by placing a value on them. Your parents are the most valuable possession that you have. I mean, obey is used while you're under their roof, and honor is used for the lifetime. There's never a day in your life you're not to honor your parents. And that means to be respectful. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. To love your mama, to love your daddy. I mean, you might not. Maybe your dad did something bad. Maybe your dad was unfaithful to your mom, and your mom divorced your dad, and you're mad at your dad because of what your dad did. Or maybe it was vice versa. Are you supposed to forgive them? Well, I don't know. Did God forgive them? Could God forgive them? Yeah, sure. I mean, look at the dumb things you've done. Has God forgiven you for that? And then you say, well, I'm not God. And I understand that. But you are never to hold a grudge. You're never to seek to get even. You're never to try to get revenge. You leave that to God. Don't judge lest you be judged, the Bible tells you in Matthew 7. So you must honor them. Even though I never met my father, if I did meet him, I assume he's dead now, but if I did meet him, I would have not been angry. I wouldn't have punched him out. I would have said, yes, sir, I'm honored to meet you, sir. Would you do that? Could you say that to your mama, your dad, even though you're mad at them for leaving and breaking up and destroying your house? I mean, movie after movie has been made about broken homes and broken houses. And this is one of the excuses people give in life, that for making a series of bad decisions. They say, well, my parents got a divorce and nobody loved me, and so I turned out to be a dirty, rotten rat. No, you turned out to be a dirty, rotten rat because you wanted to. You made your decision. It's not because of something somebody else did. You made your own decisions. You chose. You chose to be disobedient, to be disrespectful. You chose to be arrogant. You chose to react rather than to respond. And you are the one that ruined your life, not someone else. So there's never a time that you're not to obey your parents as long as you're under their roof, even though it may be unfair. I didn't say obey them if they tell you to break the law. I didn't say that. And there's never a time you're not to honor your parents, even though they might even eventually get a divorce. You still must honor them, respect them, reverence them. It's critical. And why is this promise about? Well, it comes from Deuteronomy 5:16. In the Old Testament, this verse says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded, so that you may live a long time." A long life, a wonderful life. It's based on your ability to handle authority and your